It's time for the Bob Cerace Show, broadcasting live from the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Here's the voice of Princeton football, Cody Kruschel.
Filling in for Cody Kruschel today, I'm John Moses. It's the Bob Cerace Show, the Princeton Tigers 9th in the FCS poll, 11th in the media poll, the highest-ranked Ivy League team since 1993. Head coach Bob Cerace, and well, it was a little bit of an interesting week last week against Yale. Great start, first 50 seconds of the game, you're up 14-0. Can you take us through some of that roller coaster of last week's victory over Yale?
Yeah, we got off to a great start, and to score on the first play in a 75-yard run by Colin Edie, you know, get the ball back on interception, score the next play on another, you know, long touchdown run by Colin, and go up 14-0, and to get a, you know, another get the ball back and go another quick, you know, 3-4 play drive. You're up 21-0 with 10 minutes to go in the first quarter. And, you know, I thought our guys came out with so much emotion, so much energy. And, you know, we were able to ride that to a huge lead at halftime and, you know, really kept the engine running on offense throughout the second half. And, you know, we got some things we got to improve on defense and, you know, especially in those two-minute situations. But I loved our effort.
I mean, Yale is the defending league champions. It's one of the games you circle on your schedule, playing at their facility. What were the field conditions? How did you think they sort of played into that one last week?
Well, we knew what the field positions were going to be because they had played other home games. And it's a grass field, but there's not much grass left. And it rained during the week, so we knew it was going to be muddy. Our alumni and our equipment staff have done a great job getting our guys prepared. We didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about it. You know, we talked about we're not a team that's going to make excuses. And the teams that spent a lot of time talking about the field and everything else really didn't play well at Yale. The teams that went out and played were in competitive contests and either won or lost, but they were competitive contests. And as we say all the time, it's the same for both teams.
Colin Edie has sort of always grabbed my attention. He's been in the running back rotation, gets that first collegiate start, and just blows the doors off of Yale. What have you seen this year? How has he improved since week one?
Yeah, he had a great camp and start to a season, and then he had, you know, some nagging injuries. It missed a lot of practice time, and I thought really his first healthy week since early in the year was Dartmouth. And that was a tough team to run against, but Colin was fighting and getting extra yards, and he had a really good gain, even though it may not have shown up in his yards per carry. And then he had a tremendous week of practice last week. He looked full go, everything else. And I said to my 12-year-old son that the night before the game, he was just asking me questions about the guy. I said, Colin Edie's going to rush for 150 yards. And before the game, I said to Colin, I told my son you're going to rush for 150. He goes 75 on the first play. He comes, he's jogging back. I said, halfway there, he goes, I got more, coach.
That's just a great story. I mean, it seems like he's one of those guys that you can really build on. We know this offense is going to be a little bit different next year. John Lovett, Jesper Horsted, Steven Carlson. You're going to lose some big weapons looking ahead to 2019. But Colin and the running game seems to be in good shape.
Yeah, we're not looking ahead. Like, we're only worried about Penn. But, you know, we love our players. And, you know, we got young guys. We got young guys on the scout team. They go up against Steve Urban's defense every day. And they challenge our – I mean, what I love about our guys is how we practice. Like, it doesn't matter if it's the fifth-string running back going against our starting defense in practice or it's game day. They play hard and they practice hard and they got an edge to them in what they do. And it creates great competition.
I'm glad you brought up your defensive coordinator, Steve Verbit. Yeah. He's been here for 34 years on the staff when you were here as a player. How much do you go to him in a typical week to pick his brain?
Yeah, especially when I first got here, and I was 100% totally clueless. I was leaning on him, recruiting decisions, alumni events, camp, football decisions, everything we were doing, I was leaning on him. And now it's great that I have a handle on a lot of those things, and I can just spend the majority of time talking football, you know, with what we're doing. And, you know, there's still personnel things, and there's still situations that come up, you know, with a team and depth chart and things like that that I can lean on them with. But really, we can spend a lot more time how are we going to defend Penn? And, you know, it's great because I never really sat in on the defensive meetings. And this year I've spent more time, and for me it's been an awesome learning experience, and I come from a more of an offensive background.
Sure.
And, you know, we can exchange things, and I just love what they're doing on that side of the ball.
Is he the same coach that he was when you were here as a player?
Not even close.
How is he different?
If you ask anybody that played for him, like we did morning conditioning in the winter. We didn't have spring practice. We had one day. And we'd get up, it'd be 6 in the morning, Coach Rogerson's the head coach, and I was an offensive lineman. And as the offensive line would run to go do the conditioning session with Coach Verbs, he'd be going, moo, moo. And he grinded us, you know, as hard as anybody. He still grinds the guys as hard as anybody I'm around. But I think he's been an amazing mentor. Because when I was here, he was a really young coach, you know, in terms of what he was
doing. Well, he's still young, coach.
And he's an experienced coach now. And we have a number of, you know, young coaches on our staff. And he is the veteran presence that we all need, you know, to listen to. When you look at our defensive staff, those guys have just grown so much underneath him.
I mean, that side of the ball has sort of always grabbed my attention this year. T.J. Floyd's had a great year. Yeah. The two middle linebackers, Johnson and Fassati, together. And I think that's a topic I look forward to talking with Steve about a little bit later tonight. When you look at your secondary, what has Floyd done for it?
Yeah, well, T.J. has tremendous ball skills. He has done a great job in terms of his reading defenses. He's been so disciplined this year. And this is going to be a big discipline week. Penn is very similar to Dartmouth in a different way in how they attack you with your responsibilities. And so we've spent so much time this week with our run fits, with our, you know, fits on play action pass, and I really like the tempo of our offense. I work with the offensive scouts, and the tempo our offensive scouts have given our defense helps prepare us, you know, that way, because, you know, the level of play, you're talking about juniors and seniors and Brooks and, you know, Pearson and, you know, the guys, Farrell, they got outstanding, you know, players on their team. They got an offensive line that's given up 6 sacks. You know, with our young freshmen on the scout team, it's not the same look, but when they play fast, it allows our guys to make the reads they'll have to make during the game.
When you look at this defense, two guys we're going to visit with a little bit later tonight, Jake Strain and Joe Percival. What do those two guys bring to the table?
Oh, those guys, Jake Strain's the ultimate lunch pail guy. You know, he's the guy, St. Joe's prep, you know, just undersized, everybody, you know, too slow, too this, too that. And Jake just brings his lunch pail to work every day. He works his tail off. He is a great leader in terms of what he's doing. Just admire how he plays the game. Joe came into us a lot lighter. He was more of an outside linebacker. And when you see him with, like, his shirt off, he is just so big right now and strong. And we've been able to utilize his athletic ability, especially in the pass rush. And there's no better mentor than Joe Percival. I mean, he is one of the most amazing human beings I've ever been around. And you can go across the country, and there might be some guys that equal him, but there's nobody better than him as a mentor.
I want to ask you about another guy on the defensive line, Kurt Haluba. Kurt has been in and out of the lineup a little bit over the last 2 years, unfortunately. But I understand he sort of stepped into a bigger role for your staff this year and has sort of helped lead some of those younger guys. What can you say about his contribution despite not being able to make the contribution on the field?
It's so hard. He's the best defensive player I've coached in my 9 years. And we sent two of Coach Verbit's guys on the D-line to the NFL. And when he suffered that injury, it was devastating personally for a lot of us because we saw the work he put in his rehabilitation. We saw how well he was playing in camp. It was really hard emotionally. Kurt handled it amazingly. He told the guys he was going to take a different role, but he was going to be there every day and work with them. He hasn't missed a thing. He works with our young D linemen, extra meetings on the side. He sent me a text Monday night at about 1 o'clock in the morning and asked if he could address the team. And it was amazing. I read it to Craig Saxon. But the whole key, you know, to what he said, you know, the bigger the game, you know, the smaller the thoughts. You know, just focus on your responsibility. His whole message was on focus. And I'm like, I'm the head coach. I'm 50 years old. I've been doing this for a long time. And here's this 22-year-old young man with great wisdom and somebody that I respect, you know, the world of.
So, biggest challenge that you see that Penn provides this weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, in terms of our defense,
yeah,
it's going to have to be, we're going to have to play aggressive and be in attack mode without losing our responsibilities. They are an outstanding team running the ball. They have big play threats in the receiver group, and they present so many different personnel groups and formations. And, you know, today we're just joking as we were sitting at the table, you know, we were able to run about 100 plays today and show them all the different looks. And when you play a team week 10, you got every play they've run during the season and then some things they may try to counter off of it. And we showed the guys everything. I loved our focus, and it's got to remain that way because they can really embarrass you in a hurry if you're not.
Head Coach Bob Cerace, thanks. We'll be back with more. We're at the Alchemist and Barrister. The Bob Cerace Show continues after this on Fox Sports, 920 The Jersey.
You're listening to The Bob Cerace Show with Princeton football head coach Bob Cerace. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Defense Week continues on The Bob Cerace Show. John Moses, we're with Jake Strain, Sr. All right, Jake, so take us through this 2018 campaign. Are you surprised at all to be sitting in this position at 9-0 with a chance to go 10-0 next week against Penn?
I don't think we're very surprised as a team. And, you know, we have this high-powered offense and really stout defense that we knew was there all along. It was a matter of if we're going to get to put the work in and really be prepared each week in and out. But so far, I mean, week 1 through 9, we knew it would be good. Sometimes, you know, the score might be a little surprising. You know, you know, we have to get a win every time, but when it's that big, you're like, okay, this is
I mean, it's 50-0 pretty much every week the first 4 or 5
right,
weeks
that
of
was,
the season.
Yeah, we knew at some point, you know, we'd be in a dogfight, and finally with Harvard a little bit, we got a little bit of a fight, and that was great. We knew that coming out on top of that in that game was big, and we knew that we can go 4 quarters and we can ball out, so that was good.
Last week, Yale was a little bit of a roller coaster. Team gets out to a big lead. Bulldogs make some adjustments in the second half, get a couple of big plays out of it. When you look at your role in that game last week, how did you grade it at the end of the day?
Me personally, you know, I was good O-line, and I think we it came out a little hot. We felt good coming out, and then they just kind of figured us out, and they got us a little bit here and there, which is okay. It happens, and we're glad that the offense bailed us out a little bit. But I think looking to bounce back a little bit. That was a tough week for us, and we don't like giving up that many points. You know, we're not used to it, so we're a little hungry this week.
So I guess you're not used to giving up a lot of points anyway. An all-city recognition as a high schooler at St. Joe's Prep. Take us back to your days when you were starting to look at college football. Why Princeton? Who else was involved? What other program? What did you value at the end of the day?
For me, yeah, I was pretty late to the game. Senior year really picked up for me. Junior year, I was, you know, a little undersized, a little slower. So senior year, I started talking, you know, here at Lehigh, Cornell, a little bit of Yale. It came down to official visits and, you know, where I felt I fit in most. I knew, you know, they're all good programs. Came here, visited with Tom Johnson, we came together, the linebacker behind me, all 4 years. And the guys on my official visit, they were awesome. The guys I was visiting with, the guys on the team, you know, you come in and feel right at home. I think, especially knowing I'll have Tom Johnson there behind me the whole time, I knew I fit right in, and it was great.
How many other prep guys are here, and why was the prep the best fit for you at the time in high school?
Right now we have 4 prep guys, so 2 Johnsons, me, and then Dawson Julius, a freshman. Knowing the prep is right for me, you know, started football first, went there from, you know, the 8th grade. It's, you know, a football recruit, I guess, in the 8th grade, you can call it that.
Yeah.
And kind of same idea. We walked around, took a visit there. Knew it was a great school. I valued that. And knowing it's a great school with great guys and having great sports, I really couldn't beat it. That's kind of how it took my attitude towards college, too. Coming here, good sports, obviously great school, fit in well. So
So what is your focus on the academic side?
So I'm a chemical engineer. I'm a senior right now. I'm chemical engineering with a biomed kind of track. So it's – I'm kind of finishing up towards pharmaceuticals or even, you know, there's biomed devices, that kind of stuff. So I'm looking at that a little bit right now. But
so what brought you to that selection? Why do you think that's where you want to go in life after football?
Kind of from a young age, because I sat down one time in grade school. I'm not sure when. But kind of talked to my family, like, what am I good at? What do I like to do? I know I liked math and I liked – Yeah, like science. And I was, okay, like, that's an engineer, right? That's what they do. And I always had that back in my mind throughout high school when I did well in science, did well in math. And then tried it out as a freshman here, enjoyed it. I continued liking it, so I just figured might as well roll with it a little bit.
Okay.
And as you get older, you kind of narrow it down a little bit. So.
Okay, give us one thing about Joe Percival, who we're here from next. Give us one thing about Joe that the average fan might not know.
One thing about Joe is that Joe is the best speaker on the team. Joe can give a speech off the top of his head better than I could practice for 5 days.
Really?
I don't know where he gets it from. He can fire you up. He can calm you down. He can explain a situation better than anybody else. And I think he can use that to his advantage the rest of his life.
What's the most important thing you have learned from defensive coordinator Steve Verbit?
The most important thing I've learned is really how defenses work as far as fitting goes. Coming here as a freshman, you try to come and make plays, and you're just trying to beat your guy. And that's still how we play football. But knowing that making a play doesn't always necessarily mean that you're having a TFL or making a sack. You might have a great play and be nowhere near the ball. So the way I've been playing, especially at nose guard, is if I can take two guys and get a yard in the backfield and let Tom Johnson, Mark Fassati, Jay Rowley, or someone else come in from behind me and make a tackle, that's almost as good as making a tackle myself.
So was that a little bit of an adjustment for you to sort of realize that you had this different role to play once you got here?
A slight adjustment, I guess, but again, we had the same kind of approach in high school as well. And having Tom Johnson again behind me, he always wanted to make plays. He's always good at that. So having him there and knowing that he's going to fit right for 8 years now has really changed the way I've been playing, and helps you play confidently that, you don't have to do too much. You can do your job maybe a little bit more, and the defense is going to work. So.
Defensive lineman Jake Strain, thank you so much for your time. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We'll continue with the Bob Cerace Show after this on 920 AM The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Cerace Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Cerace, on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Bob Cerace Show every Thursday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers football team and enjoy drink and food specials all night long. Join us for the month of November and check out our events on social media. John Moses filling in for Cody Cruchel this week on the Bob Cerace Show. We're thrilled to join Joe Percival this week. And Joe, I'll start the same way that I chatted with Jake. Are you surprised to be 9-0 with a chance to go 10-0 this weekend?
You know, if I told you that I wasn't surprised, I'd be lying. Coach's mantra is 5% better, and that's what we really push for every single day. You know, we just try to get 5% better in practice, in meetings, and lifts, in the games, and now we're here with a chance to make history, so it's a blessing. We're happy.
How have you focused on getting better this year? What areas have you identified and said, this is where I needed to get better this season?
You know, I think Coach Verbit and Coach Cerace, they've made me really a specialized player in terms of being on the field in nickel packages, pass rush. So I really just tried to be as deadly as I can, helping people, with twists, whether it be my one-on-one pass rush techniques, and really just trying to put pressure on the quarterback. So I'm just blessed to be able to do that.
What made you want to play football at first in life?
I started when I was 6. And,
really?
So, it really started because I was running around doing wrestling, basketball, tennis, golf, everything. And the contact nature of football, when I just strapped on the pads for the first time, that was it. It was done. It was done after that.
Well, sometimes you know, right?
Yeah, that's it. Sometimes you just know, yeah.
Why Princeton? What attracted this university to you?
You know, really, when it came down to my final two, it was either Princeton or Stony Brook, back on Long Island,
from. Right in your backyard, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I talked to my mom was not doing well at the time medically. And it really was the fact that Princeton was an hour and a half away from home and one of the best academic institutions. We're playing a high level of football. There were so many positives, so many pluses to it. I just can't turn that down. So that's why I made my choice.
Now, I understand your mother's had a very big role in your life, and yes, it's sir. Sort of helped guide you on the academic side. You're a pre-med major. Yeah. Can you take us into that decision? What made you sort of go that route academically?
Absolutely. I mean, I took a year off in between my freshman and sophomore years here, and during that time I got to see all of her struggles. You know, so many doctors and appointments that she's been to, and I got to see how a practitioner that has a standard of care that's high, that cares about the patient, the difference that they can make. So that really made me want to make that same difference for someone else's mom down the line, someone else's wife down the line, someone else's father, you know, just helping somebody to get better. And you know, that's where my heart is. So
what role do you see yourself in specifically down the road in the medical field?
Medical field, I want to be an anesthesiologist.
Okay.
So, you know, people joke and say, oh, you just knock them out and that's it.
No, there is science to it.
There is science.
No, right, there really is. What are some things that you have learned already in your time at Princeton that will sort of help you achieve that goal?
So from the football team, from football aspect, Coach Sarace has taught us about hard work, the value of putting your heart into something every single day. And, you know, when I go into medical school and residency, it's going to take that same hard work. And really, being here and working hard with the football team has established a basis for that. So I'm grateful for it.
Is that the most important lesson you've learned from head coach Bob Sarace?
I think the most important thing I've learned from Coach Sarace is never quit. Never quit. And he's told me about, you know, speaking about my own personal situation, you know, he has been so supportive. And he's guided me through. And without him, without the support of the people that are in this room, in this football team, on this football team, I wouldn't be here right now. And he pushed me to come back and to keep pursuing football, not to quit. And his the level of perseverance that he has shown me, even in his own life, that's really what I take away as the biggest thing.
Joe Percival is with us. Bob Sarace Show continuing from the Alchemist and Barrister. Well, week 10 and playing the Penn Quakers. I mean, this is one of the rivalry games on the schedule.
Yes, sir.
It's one you had circled at the beginning of the year. But when you thought about this game before the season, you certainly didn't think you had this ability to create history like this. So how has this week been different compared to the other 9 weeks of the season?
You know, there's a lot of pressure from the outside. There's a ton. And, you know, people on campus will talk about, you know, bonfire and talk about, you know, undefeated season, this and that. But really, Coach has said it. Coach Kurt Haluba has said it. You know, the bigger the game, the smaller the thoughts.
Coach Kurt Haluba? Back up a little bit.
Yeah, we call him Coach K.
Okay.
We call him Coach K now. So the bigger the game, the smaller the thoughts. So really, we're treating this just like any other thing. This is another game where we have to go out and execute. We have to be precise in what we do, and we have to get the job done. So we're just having that same level of focus.
Most important thing for you specifically this Saturday, what is it?
For me, we got to get to number one. Got to get to the quarterback. And you know, he's an elusive runner. He's a good athlete. And they have a pretty good O-line up front. But we have some schemes, some things planned that you know we want to get after and put pressure on him.
They've allowed 6 sacks all year. Is this the best group you've seen on the other side in your career?
I wouldn't say that. They've kind of switched to running the ball a little bit more. They've switched up some things schematically. But when they do pass the ball, we've seen some weaknesses, so we just want to go after those and be able to get to them.
Okay. Give us one thing about Coach Steve Verbit that has stuck with you over your 4 years here.
Is fire and passion. I don't think there's been a single meeting, a practice where he's not pushing us to the limit. And that's the best thing about it. That's where you pull out the best in people when you're pushing them. And that's why I think we've had a lot of the success we've had on defense this year, because he's pushed us hard and you know, we've come out like diamonds, so
that's a good one. So give me something about Jake Strain that the average fan might not know.
Jake Strain, we call him the unsung hero.
Oh, okay.
He's right in the middle of the line, selfless guy, takes on double teams all the time, and makes no complaints. He does his job. He's literally one of the most selfless, hard workers that you'll ever meet. He's going to take that into his career when he's done, and he's just a tremendous friend.
Okay, so give us the one guy on the team that you can see having just the most successful life in whatever it is they want to do once football and Princeton are in their past?
Wow, that's a good question. That's good. If I'm going to give you one, I'll say John Lovett.
Okay.
I'll say John Lovett.
Will John Lovett be successful in?
You know, I could imagine him on Wall Street. I think I could see that for a lot of guys on the team, but even if I could see him as a sports agent, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
As a football player, he's going to go on. We hope for him to go on beyond this. But even after that, as a sports agent, I can imagine him being like a real all-star with that.
Wow, gosh. I mean, I have read some things. I mean, of course, we've all seen Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
But that just seems like a really difficult world to really crack into and be successful with. What about Lovett do you think would make him so successful there?
Honestly, it's his passion. And again, so many guys on the team, and he even does it to a higher level. He brings energy with every single thing he does. He puts his mind to it. He puts his heart into it. And I literally know, I said sports agent, but it could be anything. He could put his heart into anything, and he'll come out successful. We love him. He's a tremendous worker.
Joe, thanks so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, sir.
The Bob Surace Show continues after this on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
You're listening to the Bob Surace Show, live from the Alchemist and Barrister, with Princeton football head coach Bob Surace and Cody Cruchel on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back at the Alchemist and Barrister, the Bob Surace Show continues. Defense week means it's Steve Bourbon, defensive coordinator here 34 years. But I want to take you back a little bit into your history. Give me the first thing you think about when you think of Bob Surace as a player.
Well, I've known Bob's dad probably for over 40 years. And he was the head football coach and athletic director at Millville High School. And as I continued to recruit down in South Jersey at Millville, you know, you saw a son growing up. And it's about toughness. It's about team. It's about grit. You know, it's about honesty, integrity, tremendous, tremendous work ethic. There's just so many ways to describe everything that, you know, he's been as a player and is as a coach.
Hmm. So what about him as a player when he was here at Princeton? Was there something about him when he was on that offensive line with that really good team with Jason Garrett? Was there something about him as a player that has stuck with you?
Well, it's the same type of thing. And, you know, he's very similar to so many of the guys that, you know, he's recruited into our program right now. It's just the work ethic, the professionalism on a daily basis, you know, bringing your hard hat, taking your lunch bucket to work each and every day. You know, you show up on a practice field, it's 2 hours of hard work and tremendous effort, time to have a little bit of fun with some of your best friends on campus and forget about a few of the things that are happening up campus.
So he has described Jake Strain as a lunch pail type of guy, and it seems like your defense is filled with guys of that nature, but take me through the first level of your defense, that defensive line. How have they grown since week one for you?
You know, when you go into your opening game at Butler, you really don't know what you have because none of the guys had played, you know, quality snaps in the past. But they've grown each and every week, and they've grown a lot because, you know, the coaching and the mentoring of Kurt Haluba. I mean, Kurt was our leader, and Kurt is our leader, and his work ethic is second to none, as is his knowledge of the game and the way he works at becoming better. And the day he got hurt, he told these guys, hey, I'm not part of the front anymore, but I'm going to be the best coach I can possibly be. So what he did is he passed on his knowledge and he passed on his confidence. And these guys go to him, and, you know, he helps make them better. You know, he gives them that little tidbits from a player's perspective at how to do things the right way. And these guys, they work. They work. They're grinders. They've got grit. They've got that little extra quality in terms of, understanding they may not be as big as some of the other D linemen in the league or as fast as they are or maybe even as talented as they are. But they know that work ethic will go a long way. And they work. Their work is second to none each and every day they come on the practice field. And they strive to get better each and every day. And they have gotten better. You know, they've gotten stronger. They're technically and fundamentally sound. They understand the system, and they have a great knowledge of what they need to do.
Now, when we were talking with Jake a little bit earlier tonight, he was talking about how when he was in high school, he had Tom playing behind him. And now he comes here, and he and Fassati together, you have two really impressive inside linebackers. Can you give us some context as to where those guys fit in your career? Has there been a better inside linebacking pair than those two than you have right now?
You know what? There's been a couple good linebackers that we've seen over the past 30 years, but these two are they're exceptional. It's, you know, it's hard to sit here and ever say that, you know, one guy is better than another, because there's been some, you know, player of the year honors that have been taken up by some of the inside linebackers. So, you know, I'm not going to say anything, you know, belittling those individuals. But these guys are so incredibly special. They're both, particularly Tommy Johnson, they're like the Energizer Bunny. You wind them up and you turn them loose, and they just go, go, go. They're tremendous. I mean, one's a fifth-year senior, one's a true fourth-year senior. And they do what you need to do. You know, their nose is in the book. They're studying video. They're great communicators. Because of their vast amount of experience, they allow you to do a lot of things that you may not be able to do from a communication standpoint in terms of making special checks. But their toughness is just unbelievable. I mean, they sell their bodies. They give their bodies away on behalf of their football team. And they've done a tremendous job. And their toughness, God, it's, you know, they're arguably the two toughest linebackers we've ever had. Other people may argue a little bit against that, but you could put it on the table that, you know, Mark and Tommy are two of the best and toughest and hardest workers that we've ever had here at Princeton.
So, taking you to the third level of defense, T.J. Floyd's had a huge year. Six interceptions. Coach Sarace was talking about his ball skills and how just impressive that has been. How do you grade the secondary and how they've played this year?
I mean, they've done a terrific job. I mean, you know, in terms of, you look at it statistically, they're one of the top bunches in the league. And I mean, I look at us as a team, and I always tell the guys up front, the best pass defense is a great pass rush, and they should take it personally every time a pass is completed. And so it's an 11 man thing. But the guys in the back, T.J. Floyd. You know, as you gain experience, you become better, because with experience comes knowledge. The game starts to slow down. You see the bigger picture. You see more of the football field. And he has had a great knack for the ball. And some of his interceptions have been so unbelievably timely, particularly the one up at Harvard, you know, a few weeks ago. And, you know, he was playing a deep middle safety, and one of our corners was beat over the top, and he was able to, you know, see the flight of the ball and get over where he had to get to.
So it's been alluded to a little bit tonight, the bonfire. This is a tradition, as I understand it, that dates back into the 1800s. This is something that you've been a part of a couple of times. Can you tell us about what the bonfire is, when these things happen, and sort of what it means to the program?
I tell you what, the bonfire, to me, Cody, it seems like it's so far away, and it's probably the last thing on my mind right now. Because the first thing on my mind is, and Bob's and everybody else sitting here today, is the University of Pennsylvania. But bonfire is traditionally, you know, a gathering any time that Princeton football would defeat both Harvard and Yale in the same year. And it's a celebration of, you know, three of the oldest programs in college football today. It's a fun gathering of the people in town. You know, the alumni and the student body all come together for a night of celebration.
I mean, anytime you can light a fire and all have some fun around it.
anytime you can spend time with family, friends, and teammates is a good time.
So now we can focus on Penn. What is the biggest challenge that you see their offense against your defense this week?
I mean, Penn provides a lot of challenges. And as we go into each and every week, I treat each team as if we're playing the Super Bowl champion, the Philadelphia Eagles. And you look at Pennsylvania, they got three very experienced offensive linemen. You know, they have one that was an honorable mention All-Ivy League, one that was a second-team All-Ivy League, and someone that's played a lot of games in his career. So anytime you're going against experienced big men on the opposite side of the ball, you know, that presents a problem. Because when you play with each other, they understand, you know, their power schemes. They communicate very, very well from a pass protection standpoint, just looking at them statistically and how they protected the quarterback. And, you know, and they help hold some of the youth together. That's also a part of that offensive line. from a skill standpoint, they're as good a skilled team as we've played this year. They have three, possibly four running backs that would be the star running back or the featured running back for any other team in the Ivy League. Their quarterback, number one, is an exceptional athlete, one that you have to, you know, keep in a pocket. Our kids always have to know where they are in relationship to the quarterback, and you know, we've got to keep him under control. They've got two very, very good receivers, you know, number 19 and number 7. Both can stretch the field, can go for the ball, and are strong, physical young men. So we're going to have our hands full on Saturday. And our guys, they have to come to play for 60 minutes. And for us to get our next victory, we need to have our best effort on the defensive side of the ball, because they challenge you from a run game standpoint, and they have a great play-action pass standpoint, and we know they're going to take a number of shots down the field.
So how is their passing scheme different without Justin Watson this year?
Well, anytime you lose an NFL football player, it's like us losing Seth DeValve, or on defense, it's like us losing Mike Catapano or Caron Reed. When you lose great players, you know, it's never the same. So what they've had to do, instead of Justin Watson, you know, catching all of the balls, now you got to spread the balls around a little bit. You know, you got to spread it out to number 19. You got to spread it to number 7. You got to spread it around to the running backs, and, you know, find ways to get other people the ball, because, I mean, Watson is unique. He was a great wide receiver. That's why he's on the roster of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, his skills offensively were a lot better than anyone's skills defensively that he played against. So, you know, as from a coaching standpoint, let's find different ways to get Watson the ball. Well, Watson's not there. And so now you got to spread it around just a little bit more.
I think it's clear when you watch Watson last year in person on tape that he had that type of talent to play at the next level. Can you put your finger on one or two guys that you've seen on other sides this year that you think could have a role at the next level?
Well, right now, well, our two guys, for sure, in terms of Carlson and Horsted.
Yeah.
You know, on the opposite, you know, number 14 at Yale right now, who's probably the leading receiver in the Ivy League at this particular time. You know, he's a big, strong receiver that runs extremely, extremely well. As we all witnessed live and in person last week. But he's exceptional. I thought 14 was probably, you know, one of the top receivers in the Ivy League and would have a chance as time goes on to possibly make it to the next level.
Are there a couple of guys on your defense that you think could end up becoming a player like that?
You know what? That's a hard thing to say. You know, right now, guys that make it to the NFL, I mean, they're extremely, extremely special. You know, they have great size, and there's always probably two or three things that's unique about them in terms of, you know, like Karani was a 300-pounder that ran 4.73.
Right.
Or Catapano was, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 285 pounds that ran 4.7 and had terrific takeoff. You know, so it's a hard thing to do that. I think right now from a testing standpoint, there really isn't a guy on our defense that's going to pop out to you and wow you. But as a unit, they are exceptional. Mm-hmm. And they give a tremendous, tremendous effort every day when they come to practice and each of the past 9 weeks so far.
Well, defensive coordinator Steve Verbit, thank you so much for your time.
Cody, awesome. Thank you.
We'll be back. Bob Sorey's show continues after this on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with The Bob Sorey Show. Here's Cody Kruschel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Sorey, on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Bob Sorey Show continues from the Alchemist and Barrister. The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host The Bob Sorey Show every Thursday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers football team and enjoy drink and food specials all night long. Join us for the month of November and check out our events on social media. John Moses here filling in for Cody Kruschel this week. Head coach Bob Sorey is back with us. Okay, so let's dive in both feet to the Penn Quakers. We got quite a bit of it from defensive coordinator Steve Verbit. Give us their defense. What areas do you see as potential opportunities for your offense to exploit?
Yeah, well, they are a top 10 defense. They're ranked 10th nationally. They're very similar to Dartmouth in that they have a strong front line. Cooper Gardner's as good as any defensive lineman I've seen or on film this year. They are, you know, Nick Miller at linebacker is going to be a player of the year candidate, no doubt about it on that. They're young in the secondary, but they play aggressively. They don't give up big plays. They're a really, you know, a multiple scheme. You know, it really challenges you with the different blitzes they have, the different fronts they use, and the different disguises they have in the secondary. And it's been a, you know, for us, a lot of preparation, and love how our guys have attacked the meetings and attacked practice on that, because, you know, we're gonna have to be at our best to move the ball against this defense.
And being at your best on your offense often means Jesper Horsted, who with five catches will become the leading receiver in program history. How have you seen him grow this season alone? I mean, he was always a talented guy. You knew that. But how has he grown this year specifically?
Yeah, I think his confidence level had just jumped. You know, I think last year it was, wow, I'm doing this. And now he goes into the game knowing, you know, we're going to utilize him and get as many matchup situations we can to get him the football. And he's done such a great job. I mean, it seems like every day in practice he makes a, wow, that is a sports center catch. He's so much better in his route running. He's been so much more precise in what he's doing. And, you know, we face elite corners. You know, Penn's got them as well.
Yeah.
And he understands that and the level of detail you need to be successful.
Well, with Carlson on the other side, I mean, can you imagine being a defensive coach to try to scheme for those two guys?
Yeah, it's a hard thing because, you know, with John and, you know, the running backs we have, you know, defenses have to go in, what are we going to take away? And, you know, if you are taking away and limiting the run game, these guys are NFL receivers on the outside. If you're taking them away, you know, we have a terrific backfield. And, you know, it's one of the reasons we've been successful, you know, scoring points. And this is going to be, is, you know, it's going to be like Dartmouth. It's going to be one of the great challenges we've had all year.
So we've talked about the two receivers. We've talked a little bit about the running game. We know what Charlie Volker brings to the table. Edie has really come on the last few weeks. But Ryan Quigley has really started to grow as well, helping a big week last week for you guys on the ground. How has Quigley sort of become and put himself in a position to be a guy for you this year?
Yeah, Quigs was a guy that was ready to go at the beginning of the year. He suffered a minor injury in camp. It set him back. And as you've seen as the year's gone along, how he's grown. And he is, you know, a Swiss Army knife. He's a terrific runner. He pass protects. He's a good out of the backfield. You know, he's really an all-around back, and he is so smart. He's finished to his runs. His second touchdown run versus Yale is one of the best runs we've had all year. And, you know, it's been really fun to see him develop. He's one of those guys when I hate to use the word he's a football player, you know, but, you know, when you say that and you put it in quotes and you emphasize that, people understand what I mean. This guy is a football player.
So John Lovett has sort of always been the star whenever he is out there. How has he improved this season? I mean, there's an element of efficiency that I think he is approaching once again to what we saw in 2016.
Yeah, the difference is this year he's only been a quarterback. You know, we haven't utilized him in the slot or at H-back or anything else. He went into the year, he is our quarterback, he's going to be our quarterback, and we planned appropriately. And Sean Gleason and the offensive staff do a tremendous job putting guys in positions of things they do best. And with John, it's a matter of maturity. It's making the protection calls. It's getting the run checks. It's reading the coverages. And that's where he's excelled. He, you know, hasn't made error, you know, befitting of a guy who's only started 8 games right now in his college career as a quarterback. He's not making error, yet he's making explosive plays and efficient plays. And, you know, I know, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he watches film, you know, all day, all night, whenever he can in his dorm room, whatever else. And that's going to help us because the Penn defense is so multiple. It's as talented as Dartmouth in terms of statistics and things like that, but they're more multiple. They do more things. Their scheme is way more vast in what we're going to have to face. So it's going to take, you know, the quarterback play to be really, really on top of his game.
So when you look at your defense matching up with Penn's offense, what's the number one thing that you guys have to do on that side of the ball to give yourself a chance to win?
Well, you know, it always starts with, if you don't play your responsibilities and you don't know your responsibilities, you can't play fast.
Right.
If you don't play fast, then you can't be aggressive and physical. So they got to be on point with all the different things. I mean, Penn has so many different personnel groups and formations and shifts, and they look back and they do different things. It's an incredible scheme, you know, the things that they're doing. So our guys have to be on point. Step one, they got to be in the right gaps, the right fits. And if they get that part of it, then it'll allow them and give them an opportunity to play fast and aggressive. And when you're not knowing those things, you don't tackle well, you give up big plays, you're not focused, they play action pass, bang, they hit you for a long one. You know, so our guys are going to have to be great with that.
As an alumni of this program, and given where you've sort of built this program from when you first took over, what would it mean to you to see a 10-0 record?
I've not focused on that. I love all the support, and I appreciate it. My college roommates here tonight, and you know, I love the guys. I love my teammates and friends and everything else. But as I told the guys, all those things during the week are distractions. You know, for me, from 6 o'clock in the morning until late at night, Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's all a bit about Penn. Like, I owe it to our players and the work they put in to only worry about Penn. And if you do that, you have an opportunity. Doesn't mean you're going to beat them. They're a terrific team.
Right.
But you have an opportunity to then talk about all the what-ifs.
All right. We've got 2 minutes left. 1 minute left. Let's talk about Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Were you excited? Were you excited to get him
for
the Sixers?
I was coming off the field.
Right.
And Craig Saxon, we are huge Sixers fans.
Right, right.
And Craig is, we're walking up to the media, the press conference. He taps me, Sixers got Jimmy Butler. I'm like, oh, my God, what did they give up? He's like, we didn't give up Fultz. We didn't give up the Miami number one. He goes, we gave up Covington, Saric, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, the NBA, it's about acquiring talent.
Right.
And that's what the process is about. And you get a top 20 player. There's a lot of risk. He's going to be 30. He's got a lot of mileage. But this is a top 20 player, top 15 player in the NBA, along with Embiid, along with Simmons. Hopefully, Fultz continues to develop. Redick makes every key play for them.
Yeah.
Now you start dreaming. And, you know, that's going to wait till after Saturday. But I know,
right,
I'm going to be one of those super fans that's, you know, going to start those dreams when February hits.
I'll say this. This is what we've been dreaming about ever since Sam Hinkie took over and the process. Like, this was the point. This was the whole reason to acquire premium talent like this.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're as excited as I am.
Yeah, I was. Because it's, the bus ride back, Craig and I are texting back and forth like literally 12-year-old boys.
Well, Coach, congratulations. Thank you so much for your time this week. Good luck Saturday. We'll see you there.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thanks for stepping in. Lou Gehrig and John Moses all at once.
As you can find all the information you want about the Princeton Tigers at GoPrincetonTigers.com. If you missed any of this show, it'll be available as a podcast tomorrow morning at GoPrinceton.com, GoPrincetonTigers.com/podcasts, or search Princeton Tigers on iTunes. For David Fenster running the show back at 9:20 a.m. The Jersey, this is John Moses saying good evening from the Alchemist and Barrister, and thanks for listening. We'll see you Saturday as the Quakers and Tigers match up on ESPN+. This has been the Bob Sorace Show on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.